I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Outline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody. Well, we're getting closer here, as the rookies reported yesterday. My sources are telling me they're going to be on the field jumping around a little bit today. And we got a lot of stuff. And by the way, for the rookie class, I don't know the last time we talked about really needing a lot of these guys to play, but they're going to need a bunch of these guys to play and be a big part of the offense and the defense. Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald joins us this morning. Omar, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How you doing? I'm lying to you because I got maybe 6 days left of my life before it's all committed to January.
Yeah, no. That's you're all in here, man, here pretty soon. There's no question about it. Hey, by the way, before we get going on this importance of this class and some of the guys to watch for, because there's going to be a lot of young guys. This Teddy Bridgewater thing, that unbelievable. You thought he did something real bad, to find out all he did was help kids.
Something is wrong with our system. If this is what leads to, you know, helping, I guess he would have been better off being a volunteer. Actually, he is a volunteer. So, like, he's not an employee, he's a volunteer, but I guess he would be better off just coaching from the sidelines as opposed to being on the staff. It's really ridiculous, Joe. And I understand this has something to do with Florida High School FHSAA rules and whatnot. But also, you know, I'm not sure everybody at Northwestern was all on board. The administration, maybe the athletic director were all on board with Teddy Bridgewater kind of lifting and carrying that program to a championship.
Yeah, well, listen, because Teddy does get all the credit, but so other schools, and I don't know, so the Alumni Association at Northwestern used to be really, really strong.
Yeah.
Central's got a strong one, too.
Yeah, and don't forget about Charles City now. Come on now.
No, I am, but I've seen the Central group, and they've invited me over there, and I saw it at Trask Powell, and I was like, wow, this is strong, and the things they do. But Teddy's doing a lot of that stuff himself instead of the group. But this stuff about making sure kids have food and making sure they get to and from school because of the backgrounds, that's going on a lot of places, at private and public schools all over South Florida. And Teddy didn't try to hide anything. He went on Facebook asking for some help from more Bull backers. It's just that, listen, I think it's a joke, and it became such a big story. I thought when I saw it at first, it was like third or fourth trending story at ESPN. I went, Jesus, what could Teddy have done? And I was like, he didn't do anything. And I was glad to see a lot of people come out over the last 24 to 48 hours going, this is a joke. Florida High School Athletic Association and the good old boys up in the north that run our high school world here. Boy,
yeah,
you whiffed. And I get it, because he's got, by the way, I don't know if you heard how good that team is. Blue thinks it might be the best public school team in the country. That's how good Teddy's team is coming back this year. So
absolutely, they won the championship last year.
That's right. Yeah. I think there's some jealousy that goes to out of the South and goes up north, because they know they can't beat some of our teams down here, and they're tired of the same situation. They want us to all play each other, knock each other out, and allow more teams in Central and the northern part of the state to win championships. I really believe that, and I think it's the whining and bitching and ratting that goes on. And so they come down hard on our school. Central got knocked out last year for an illegal player, and the whole thing. So anyway, I hope Teddy's okay. I hope Teddy's laughing about this and just telling everybody, go, you know, F themselves. Hey, let's get into the football stuff here. First of all, Savanaya, when do you think he signs? How long is he? He can't. We're not talking about sitting out all the camp here to make a statement about the second round, are we?
I hope he signs by the start of the exhibition season because he's definitely one of those guys that needs the rep. Yes. He's pretty much the rookie that the most is expected out of, probably the one of the weakest units still on the team. He's expected to be one of the saviors. So, but this Joe, I can't even. You probably understand because you've been in the league and you've been part of the alumni. This is part of the push to get fully guaranteed contracts. And this is probably, in my 17 years of covering the league, probably the most important movement that the players can probably push for. Because, okay, first round picks are guaranteed.
That's in the
contract. But remember when they like slashed those salaries in half? Probably 11 years ago because of the new CBA, because they didn't want Jake Long becoming the highest paid offensive lineman as the number one pick. They were like, oh, this is a problem here. This is a problem. And I do agree that it was a problem. But in the end, we didn't get any closer to making sure that contracts were fully guaranteed. And so now we're seeing the second round picks are pushing for fully guaranteed contracts. And we're not talking about a lot of money. We're pretty much talking about $2.4 million for Jonah. Guaranteed. He's already going to get the money. We're just talking about guaranteeing the money. And let's be real about it. Second round picks are going to see their full contracts. Usually, maybe 97% of them.
No, I agree. No. You're 100% right. You're a second round pick. You're going to get every opportunity for 3 or 4 years to show you're finally coming around. Yes.
And here's another thing that people don't realize. First and second round picks aren't eligible for playing time escalators, which means your contract grows by $2 million, like in Javon Holland's case, $2 million in the final. In third round picks are. So that third round pick, if he plays a lot, his contract's going to double by his fourth year. Second round picks aren't eligible. So we got to a point when Mike Gesicki and Durham Smythe were both on their fourth year of their contract. Durham Smythe was making twice as much as Mike Gesicki because of the playing time incentive. So it just doesn't make sense. At least if they're a second round pick, guarantee the contract. And keep in mind, we're in the NIL era of college athletics. So right now, probably next year, an offensive lineman in the ACC is going to make $1.5 million. You know what a rookie contract is on a base salary? $840,000.
Yeah. Mm.
So they're taking a pay cut to come to the NFL?
Well, they're getting a signing bonus with it that's a little misleading, some of that money up front. But, yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So you know, this is important that the players are going to cave because they always cave, and that's what the NFL owners really rely on and lean on. But they shouldn't cave. And unfortunately, that might mean these second-round picks, you know, don't participate in training camp.
Oh, no, but we really need the big guy, that big wide-body guy on that line, man. I'm with you. Hey, let's talk about some other guys I'm really looking forward to. I expect Kenneth Grant and Savanaya, once this stuff gets worked out, we're going to see a lot of them, and they're going to be playing in September. I'm really looking forward to seeing Jordan Phillips, number two, and Jason Marshall, the cornerback from Miami Palmetto High School out of Florida, seeing how quickly these guys can develop. Those are two of my favorite guys to watch. What about for you?
It's really the defensive tackles, because I looked up the last couple of years of defensive tackles that came into the Dolphins as early draft picks, and we're not talking about third day guys. All of those guys, they hit 500 snaps. And so that's what we should be expecting from all three of these defensive tackles, because they're going to be needed. One of them is going to have to start next to Zach Sealer, unless Matt Dickerson just comes out and just wins everybody, wows everybody. And he was pretty impressive in the offseason workouts. I was like, okay, this is somebody I need to watch. All three of them are going to play about 500 snaps, whether it be starting or backups or injury. So they got to be ready. And to me, the defensive line is really going to have to hold it down for the entire defense, because they've got such a young and inexperienced secondary. So, you know, their health, their development. It has to be on point. Fortunately for them, I think they got one of the best position coaches, on the team, if not the league. And hopefully they'll develop and develop at a quick pace.
Yeah, Austin Clark's really good defensive line coach. I agree, along with Anthony Weaver at the coordinator position.
Yeah.
Hey, so you're telling me, you said all three guys, so you're expecting Biggers to also, out of Georgia Tech, who's a big man, 6'6", 320, 330, to also get some playing time, even though he's late in the draft, huh?
He's a backup to Benito Jones, so he's definitely going to play. He's the biggest one, and I have no idea. Now, nose tackles, I remember from back in the Paul Soliai's day, and even Raekwon Davis, nose tackles take some time to develop and progress. And they got the toughest job because their job is to take on two and not be moved. So it'll really come down to how is he physically. But then, you know, let's be real about it. Benito Jones, you know, he signed here for minimum salary contracts for the last 2 years. There's a reason. So hopefully, you know, Hopefully, Biggers is ready to contribute right away, just because they're going to need him.
Hey, so we got some other positions too that I wanted to talk to you about. When you look at the cornerback position, first of all, you still think they're going to sign or trade for somebody here in the next week or two?
I don't know about week or two. I think they're probably going to see what they have in house. Probably take it to the exhibition season, see how they play against Chicago and Detroit. Yeah. I don't think they have to be desperate. One, they don't have the cap space right now. So, you know, whoever you're signing, you're probably pretty much talking about a 2 to 3, maybe $4 million deal. They're not going to get rich. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm not saying they're out of the Rasul Douglas or Asante Samuel Jr. business, but I think that they're going into this with what they have right now. Now, if all of those guys struggle and they realize they don't have three, then they probably might pull the trigger on a trade. Or they could also wait for veterans to be released at the end of training camp. They could wait till the second week of the season when they don't have to guarantee contracts. We're really talking about an Eli Apple-esque signing. So I'm not necessarily certain. At this point, I'm not necessarily certain there's any home runs out there to hit.
So Ethan and Storm and Cam all going to get a lot of chances in this camp. You agree to all show and not just be guys that are preseason guys, but that are going to be legit guys that can play during the season?
I think Cam is probably going to get the most opportunity as long as he stays healthy. Cam is a Chris Greer draft pick, and we know Chris Greer draft picks get more than their fair share of opportunity to prove themselves. And I think it's the right approach, sink or swim. Storm Duck intellectually is probably ahead of the other pack. And don't forget about Kendall Sherfield, because he was a guy who was playing a prominent role during OT program, and Mike McDaniel basically said it's because of his understanding and awareness of what's needed. And this is a guy who's been a former starter in the league and a high draft pick. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to be probably the lead dog for the starting spot.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. So do a lot of those guys come in early then for rookie camp too? A lot of those guys that didn't play a lot last year probably get asked to come in early as well, or no?
I think if you're in town, I wouldn't be shocked if you're already in the facility.
Yeah.
Some guys might be doing a last minute vacation, the veteran guys. I know I will, because goodness gracious, when I talk about the time commitment, imagine your whole life planned for you every single day till January, except for your bye week. And that's their life. That's the NFL. Guys give up the off season. I mean, guys basically have the off season to have a life, and then 7 months out of the year is totally committed to football. So this is their last weekend of freedom, last weekend to enjoy. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if guys are already at the facility. A lot of guys, especially young players, they go there for the food, Joe. I'm not even joking.
No, you don't have to sell me. We brag about how good that food is over there all the time, and that was part of the deal to keep them around. It sounds stupid, but guys aren't in a sprint to get out of there to go eat somewhere because they know that damn food down there is so good. I totally agree with you. Hey, I got to ask you about Zach Sealer.
I get fed every day, and I enjoy it.
Yeah. Let me ask you about Zach Sealer. What do you think the game plan is? I don't know if anybody's talked. Does the team – they got those three rookies you were talking about. I think Zach's part of that development. He just is. He's out there. He's going through it. He's got a good personality to work with those guys. They can see what he does. Do they break and redo this contract, or do they go, I can't do it? What's your gut feeling tell you on this?
My gut feeling, based on history, is they try to play hardball with Zach, and Zach is a good guy, but I think Zach is going to be doing a hold-in. And he's going to do the Christian Wilkins. He's going to give him 2 weeks to figure it out. If we follow Christian's lead, and we know that to make this organization and franchise do anything that they should do, you have to twist their arm. So if we follow Christian's lead, you do the first 2 weeks of training camp, you go all out, you show the effort, you show the commitment, you show the leadership, you're first guy in, last guy out, and that's Zach. And if they don't budge on the contract, then you shut it down. Mm. And understand that you can shut it down as long as you're a hold-in. If you hold out, you're fined $50,000 a day. But contractually, players can hold in. They could show up for work and do nothing as long as they're there. And so I think that's what Zach will do. I mean, I'm sure he'll participate in meetings and things like that. I'm sure he'll lift weights. I'm sure he'll do conditioning. But in terms of football work, if no contract, no workie.
Hey, so I want to ask you off this, because Woody and I have been talking about it, and some of our fans have talked about this a lot, and that I've been saying the team's got a pretty good idea of who's going to be happy and not happy after they have a good season. And John New and Zach Sealer wanted new contracts. They like, hey, we outplayed it. I went 88 catches, and Sealer's going, I went double digit. Sacks are important around here. I did double digit 2 years in a row. I want a new contract. They had a pretty good idea after the season that this was going to happen. They didn't get ambushed with this on either guy.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely not. This is all predictable. I remember John was talking about a new contract before the final game was played. So, and everybody knows Zach's situation. Everybody knows Zach. The team has signed him early, but they've also signed him for 70 cents on the dollar early. And, you know, that's great. And and to me, a fair, respectable offer is pay him 70 cents on the dollar. You know what? Legit nose tackles that are producing like Zach Sealer being paid? $20 million a year. You know what Zach Sealer's making? Less than eight. So, and he's approaching 30, which obviously is in the team's favor. And he's under contract for 2 years, which is obviously in the team's favor. But you don't talk about culture and changing the culture and do the right thing and then not take care of the guy who is the example of the culture and the example of do the right thing and the guy you want everybody to model after. Okay, so if he's doing everything he's supposed to be doing, why isn't he rewarded?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting one, because, you know, we talked about getting to camp and just talking about all football related stuff on the field. And
that's not possible, Joe. That's not possible in the NFL. This is just a reality of what's going on.
It really is. Omar, it's a great point. It's just not. And I know people think it's a Dolphins only thing.
No,
and it's going on everywhere.
It's everybody. It's every single team. You know why Mink is here? Same situation, same business. I'm sure they wanted to adjust the salary, probably drop a salary. Mink was like, nope. And Mink is guaranteed $31 million. Not guaranteed. He's under contract for $31 million. The problem is none of it's guaranteed. If you are a Pro Bowl player, you do not play that season without guaranteed money. Because yeah. if Minka suffers an ACL, knock on wood, sorry if this hurts your feelings as Dolphins fans. If Minka suffers an ACL, you know what he's playing for next year? Probably the minimum. So you go get your guaranteed money.
Hey, before I let you go, because we have some people on this, Quinn Ewers is going to become somehow be the backup quarterback and outplay Zach Wilson. That's not going to happen at camp.
Not going to happen. So
I agree on some things today. That's good. That's a good start here before we get going. That's I agree. Not even close. Not even close.
And Zach is one of the top paid backups in the NFL. They wouldn't have given them that money if they didn't believe in him. I'm not saying that he's good, because I'll judge when he has a better mastery of the offense. But he has to model his game after Tua, and even Zach has acknowledged that's not easy to do. And this is a guy who was a second overall pick in the draft the year after Tua. It's not, and that's what people don't get. It's not easy to do what Tua does. People don't realize that. People don't have an understanding of how good his mastery of the offense is, and how good the timing is, and how quickly he gets rid of the ball and the pocket presence. They just think it's easy. Are you kidding me? Trust me. I've watched a lot of bad quarterbacks here covering this team. Tua's not elite, but he damn sure ain't bad.
Well, so I know the Tua thing. You got it fired up here around Woody was telling me. Been gone. You got it going pretty good. I just want to see Tua play 17 games. I finally got Woody to come around to just say, Woody, give him 17 games. Let's see. Well, we've already said. I go, Woody, let's just give him 17 games. Stay healthy and see how he plays against everybody across the board, including that's all.
I promise you, if he's healthy for 17 games, he's in the MVP conversation, because that's been the case two of his 5 years, and he wasn't even healthy for one of them. He's going to be in an MVP conversation. The question is, can he lead his team to greater heights? And I can't answer that question for you.
I don't know about MVP. I mean, I listen.
Oh, Joe.
2023? I'm telling you, I don't know. I have, you know, the MVP. You got to have big wins against the big teams to get MVP. You just do.
You're right. Absolutely right. That's all. You are absolutely right. But let's not forget, in 2023, we were going into that Buffalo game, and the conversation was winner takes MVP and number one seed in the AFC East. Now, they got pimp slapped, but that was the conversation, wasn't it?
Well, let's just see. I want to see him stay healthy before you start doing all these predictions on everything Tua's going to do, and you're getting everybody fired up back home. But I just want to see him healthy 17 games with this system, with a chip on his shoulder, because nobody thinks he can do. Matter of fact, the whole thing is this team ought to rally, because there's not many people on the outside that think they're going to be that good. That should motivate them pretty good by themselves, right? That should do it.
Absolutely. But Tua has weaponry. They got a run game. Hopefully they got an offensive line. And Anthony Weaver's defense, I'm pretty sure they were top 10 defense the last two years. If they continue that trend, they should have a good team.
He can do it with all those young guys. Weaver is going to make himself a good-looking head coach prospect here in the near future. Hey, thank you, Omar. Appreciate you coming on.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right, Omar Kelly joining us, talk a little bit and getting things going here this morning. We got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to, but before we do, it is hurricane season. I know what that means. Hope you're protecting your home. I hope you're already on this with Loctite Impact, windows, doors, and roofing. You're looking around right now and you're thinking about it, but you haven't done it. You need to get it going, man. Don't wait for the next storm to hit you. Protect your home right now with Loctite Impact, windows, doors, and roofing. Okay, let's get into it. So you got an old leaky roof. Replace your old roof now and you can pay later. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews for you. Save big on their legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. They cover all of South Florida, so don't wait for the next storm. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, that's LoctiteImpact.com, or call 954-500-LOCK. Hey, I want to let you know, when you're going to talk to their professionals, they'll come out, they'll get started. It's a good business. It's growing fast for a reason. Check it out, Loctite Impact. Call them today.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same? Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.